Welcome to Left Out with Adam Grimm and Logan Davis, a weekly show where we discuss all things sports, from the controversial to lighthearted topics around the country. Now let's go to the host. This is Left Out.
What's up, sports fans? It's Logan Davis.
And I'm Adam Grimm, recording live from Shaquille O'Neal's guest bathroom.
It's November 14th, and welcome to Episode 0.
Today on the docket, we got some quick introductions. We got some NBA offseason news, NFL midseason awards, college football playoff talk, and final thoughts.
Let the game begin.
It's time to get this week started with the tip-off.
All right, awesome. Well, first off, we're going to introduce ourselves. I'm Logan Davis. I'm 21 years old. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm a huge fan of all Dallas sports, Mavericks, Cowboys, Texas Rangers. Adam, what about you? Tell me about yourself.
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Big Missouri Tigers fan, big St. Louis Blues and St. Louis Cardinals fan as well. And also fan of Drew Locke. Of course, with my sports franchises, especially Missouri Tigers. I'm a bit familiar with heartbreaking sports, so all you fans out there who love to have your hearts broken by your hometown team, I know what that's like.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, people always ask when we were talking about it, why did we start this podcast? And, you know, we just thought we're just two guys who just love talking about sports. So it's really what the reason why we started Left Out. This is us.
Yeah, I mean, I just really got into it because I obviously love talking about sports, and I hope that by talking about it, I can hopefully pass on any knowledge and someday just make people's days better. Not just talking about it, but trying to also make people's better, bring a little bit of joy into their life.
Exactly, I couldn't agree more. A side note is that Adam right now has a disgusting mustache on his face. Hopefully it's gone by episode one.
I just like to say that it's coming in really nicely, and I think that Logan is a little bit jealous that he does not have the same facial hair going right now.
Well, that's up for debate.
He may be able to grow more, but he hasn't right now.
I think that's it for the most part. Why we do what we do.
Big news, sports fans!
Let's talk about the sports news from around the country.
Yeah, I know I'm not exactly the jockey type, but I watched Hoosiers last night, and I like sports now.
Here are the biggest stories in sports.
All right, so let's get into the sports news of the week, starting off with NFL news. According to Lamar Jackson, the Ravens' opponents are calling out their plays at the line of scrimmage before they even happen.
That is concerning. I think that if defenses are already figuring out your scheme, which, I mean, the Ravens, I feel like it's pretty simple. They usually run the ball, they lead the lead in rushing, so it doesn't surprise me. I feel like he's just calling out Harbaugh for the most part.
I mean, yeah, they've had a super one-dimensional offense. I think that the main key for them going forward is going to be, can Lamar Jackson start to push the ball to the outside? I think a lot of his throws right now are just coming over the middle. I think once he starts to push the ball outside, that's going to add a new dynamic to their offense. And that's what's going to really take it over the top and bring it back to where it was last year. Also this week, Christian McCaffrey will be out once again, this time with a hurt shoulder.
Val, this concerns me because now I feel like, is Christian McCaffrey going to be the injury running back? Is he going to be 2 weeks, have come back every phenomenal game and be out for 3 weeks. So that's really concerning. Probably Carolina needs to take care of, make sure he's fully 100% healthy.
Yeah, I mean, whenever he's played this year, he's been incredible. He's played 3 games only out of their 8 so far, but in those 3 games, he's averaging 125 yards from scrimmage and 2 touchdowns a game. But I mean, this team needs him going forward. He's a focal point of that offense, and with a rebuilding team, that's very important to their future. And so I think that it's important that he's able to stay healthy in the future. Lastly, for NFL news, Bill Belichick calling out the New York Jets and saying that leaving them was one of the best moments of his career.
I love it. I think Bill Belichick is a troll in every interview he's ever done. And I think that's just another stab for the Jets, because I'm pretty sure the Patriots just dominate the Jets every year, not a surprise, but love to see Bill just doing one last dagger after their close call win this past week.
I mean, 0-9, how much worse can it get?
Seriously.
But, I mean, whenever I saw this, I wondered, would he still be the same coach with the Jets with a different franchise? Could he have produced a similar track record to what he has so far?
No way. He's got the perfect gig in New England. These past 20 years for him have been phenomenal, so it would not be replicated.
So now moving on to the NBA news. Victor Oladipo. According to reports, he had asked other teams if he could play with them, but he denied this report. But nonetheless concerning to hear it if you are a Pacers fan.
Absolutely. If you're a Pacers fan and you're hearing that one of your star players is literally begging teams for them to play with them, that's concerning. You know, the Pacers organization, I mean, he's 28, got 1 year left on his contract. Maybe you deal him. Because I don't know, I feel like that's not the Pacers culture, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously with injury concerns that he's had, and I'm not sure that this roster can really be competitive in the Eastern Conference without a true superstar on it. Oklahoma City promoting assistant Mark Dangenault to be their next head coach. I'm personally never that big of a fan of hiring internally. I just always think that it's kind of counterintuitive if you're moving off of one coach to then hire another coach from his system. I've never been a big fan of that.
I kind of agree. I also think that from what I've like read and heard is that this guy has been basically bred to be the next coach of the Thunder. And if I know anything about like Sam Presti, he's all about developing people and the team. So, I mean, I think it's a good hire. It's a good chance for somebody to get their name out there, really prove their worth. And Oklahoma City's got great guys. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, super exciting. Steven Adams. And the real thing they got to figure out is Chris Paul, see what they're going to do with him. So I like the hire.
All right, we got more NBA offseason talk coming up, obviously, with the transaction starting later this week. And we will see what will happen with that. Moving on to college sports, we got Ivy League is canceling all of their winter sports to include men's and women's basketball. It's a pretty big deal. I mean, they were the first one to go through with fall cancellations,
right?
And now we've seen a lot more of that happening recently. And so, I mean, interesting to see what happens with other conferences as well.
I think it's just sad for the players, for your seniors, and it really questions if you'll see a lot of Ivy League players transfer, especially basketball. And I think just heartbreaking for all the kids out there, athletes. So
I think recruiting too, just saying, wow, my league was the first one to give up on the season.
Yeah, throw in the towel.
What is that going to mean for my future going forward competing in this league?
Absolutely.
And then I saw this, according to the Patriot League basketball schedule, they wanted to minimize travel, obviously.
Sure.
They're going to have Holy Cross and Boston University playing each other 6 times in men's basketball. That's a lot of times to see.
6 times? Like straight? Or is this
not straight, but throughout the season, that's a lot of times to see one opponent.
That's really dumb, in my opinion. I just think that, I mean, you're basically playing like a playoff series. I mean, I don't know anything about Holy Cross or Boston, their basketball, but hopefully, I mean,
That's got to be a record.
Yeah, by the fifth game, you're like, man, we just played these guys like last week. We know their schemes. If you're the coach, you're like drawing up everything you can. So.
Yeah, pulling out all the tricks.
For sure.
Baseball news. Tony La Russa charged with a DUI, but during this arrest, he pleaded to the officer as he showed his World Series ring, quote, "I'm a Hall of Famer."
That's unacceptable. I don't care if you're the greatest baseball player of all time. There is no excuse from the law.
I love Tony La Russa, being a Cardinals fan. This is hilariously bad, though. I'm glad that no one was injured by his actions, but that's a wild story. I'm a Hall of Famer. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I think the White Sox organization, too, will see what they do with him.
Apparently, they knew about it before they hired him.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. It seems like if he's a Hall of Famer, you just put it under the rug. So, way to go, White Sox.
And Kim Ng is becoming the first female general manager for professional sports, breaking through the glass ceiling, as a lot of people have saying. Congratulations to her.
Yeah, awesome. Seriously, congratulations. Honestly, big step. And especially baseball, which I feel like is is the biggest money-making sport for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, she has a ton of experience, super qualified for the job, so good for her. Glad that she earned this position and was rewarded with it.
Mm-hmm.
Masters coverage, Dustin Johnson leads by 4 shots now today over Cameron Smith, Abraham Answer, and Sung J.M.
Okay.
All at 12 under. He's at 16 under.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing great golf this weekend. I was surprised that nobody was able to really take advantage of the soft greens earlier in the week. And now, once they firmed back up from all the rain on Thursday, Dustin was able to take advantage of the situation whenever nobody else was able to, and really take a hold of the tournament.
Yeah, no, this will be exciting.
For sure. All right, so that wraps it up for sports news this week. Next, we're on to the main event.
It's showtime! And now, the main attraction.
This is what you've been waiting for. Our biggest discussion of the week.
Cool.
It's time for the main event.
All right, well, here we go. The main event is we're talking NBA transactions. As Adam said earlier, it's beginning this week. So we're going to do predictions for the following players: Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Miles Turner, Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, and we're both going to choose a surprise player who will get moved.
And then we're also going to break down what we think the Timberwolves and Warriors will do in the draft, what the Lakers, Suns, and Celtics are all going to do. They're obviously all in interesting positions. Lakers coming off a title, Suns having a very good performance in the bubble, and the Celtics having every asset in the world, it seems like. All right, so what do you think? What do you want Drew Holiday to go to do?
I would love Drew Holiday to come to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, this might be a bias, but I think he would be an excellent pair with Luka and Kristaps. He provides that defense that we desperately need. And I think just he's been voted the best teammate of the year. Everyone has positive things to say about him, always in the locker room. So I feel like for a young Dallas team, he'd be perfect to bring in and would just help elevate Luka's game. So yeah, that's what I think.
I want to see him on the Nuggets. I think he'd be a really good third star. Playing off ball in that offense, he can allow Jamal Murray to do his thing. He can be a great defender alongside of him. Maybe if you can do that, you can also bring Jeremy Grant back. That gives you two really good defenders out on the wing. I think that is a team of the future, and he would bring a great veteran leadership into that locker room, like you said. So I really would love to see him there. Chris Paul, I want him to see him on the Suns. Obviously, they had that great run at the end of the year. And I think that with a veteran point guard like that to take some of the ball handling duties off of Devin Booker, I think that could be really good for them.
Yeah, I think I thought about the Suns. But you know what? I'm going to say Chris Paul comes back to the Clippers. I think what's going to happen is the Kawhi PG experiment didn't work out. And the locker room doesn't seem to support Paul George, honestly, after their second round exit. So I think he goes back to the Clippers, gives Kawhi that playmaker he's desperately asked for, and I think the Clippers will be once again a perennial contender. So,
Russell Westbrook.
I said the Hornets. I think Charlotte cashes in. I think they get the walking triple-double. It doesn't really make sense for Charlotte because their timeline, they're one of the worst teams in the league, but I think they just want to bring in this guy to spark the locker room, hold these guys accountable. And I think Russell Westbrook definitely can do that. He can elevate people's games for sure. And also, Russell Westbrook wants the ball in his hands, and I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan will be okay if the 2016-2017 MVP has the ball. So.
Yeah, I think that Michael Jordan also likes the competitiveness that he plays with. Maybe it reminds him a little bit of himself. I want him to go to the Magic. I think that him, Nikola Vucevic, I think that's not a bad fit for him. I mean, I don't think there's a great fit for him out there just because of his play style now.
Also, his contract.
So. I think he'll go to the Knicks. I think they're going to make a mistake, and I think that'll probably be what happens. Victor Oladipo.
So, yeah, we just mentioned that he was begging other teams, let him play for them, and I think Indiana keeps him this year. I don't think that if they try to ship him that there's not going to be anything returned that they would possibly want. So he might walk, in my opinion. I just don't see them. I don't see any team like desperately wanting coming off an injury to Victor Oladipo.
So. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that he's going to stay put. I think that they may even have a chance at re-signing him versus like a Paul George type player since he's from Indiana. Mm-hmm. He's familiar with the area. He went to Indiana University. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep him in, and even if he does stay there, because I don't know what I expect from him this season, but if it's not stellar, then obviously I think they have a good shot at keeping him.
Yeah.
His teammate, Miles Turner.
I also said he would stay. They bought into the Sabonis-Turner duo. It really hasn't worked out, but Indiana honestly is known for keeping their guys. They really don't ever just let them walk. Obviously, they bring in some free agents, but they're a mid-market team, probably honestly on the smaller end. I don't think they're going to lose the guy they drafted, so I think he also stays.
I think the Celtics or the Rockets are going to make a really big run at him. I think that he could fit great into either of their systems. He gives Boston that defensive center. He keeps the floor spacing alive. And then same with Houston. I think small ball doesn't work, and they need a center. And I think that he allows them to keep the spacing that they desire. And so I think that he could be a really good fit on either of those teams. And I think that one of them will come with an offer that Indiana won't be able to turn down.
Okay. Interesting.
Kevin Love.
I said Portland. I think Portland trades for Kevin. They probably have to give away maybe Nurkic or maybe Anthony Simmons in a pick. But I think Kevin Love is just what the Blazers need to just keep trying to get back to the Western Conference Finals. He'll space the floor. He's kind of on the latter end of his career, but I think he can still play quality basketball.
I think either the Rockets, again, if they weren't able to get Miles Turner, or also the Blazers, I think that this may be the time to go all in. See if can this group be the one that brings us a championship. And I think that he's the kind of player that could elevate them to that status at the power forward position, give them something that they're missing.
Absolutely. And also a good point is that the West is only getting stronger. Every team is reloading. As we'll talk about later, which teams are going to, what I think are going to make moves, but the Lakers are only going to get better. So to get to the top, you got to rearm. So.
All right. And DeMar DeRozan.
The reports that that the Lakers were interested in getting him. I think he stays with San Antonio. I don't think San Antonio is going to want Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green, which was the projected trade. So I think DeMar stays in San Antonio. Just for the last, maybe this is Pop's last 1 or 2 years. DeMar will be a free agent, I believe, next year. So he'll go somewhere else probably.
I saw a story about this. I don't know how much it's true, but I saw that the Atlanta Hawks were interested in him. And I think if that's true, I think that they would be a team that's willing to bring him in. Because I think they believe that they're close to the playoffs. And having a veteran guy like that on your team, I think that that really is something that they feel like could elevate them into a playoff position. And obviously the veteran leadership, I think that it wouldn't be the worst fit in the world there.
I think also DeMar kind of, he's not really fitting to what the NBA is becoming. He's a very bad three-point shooter. And if he goes to the Hawks, yes, you have Trae Young.
All right, who's your surprise player?
All right, my surprise player is James Harden. I think James Harden gets traded to the 76ers. I think it's a Embiid for Harden swap.
I'd love to see James Harden get moved. Obviously, you don't want a talent like that to go to waste and not be able to win a ring. I said PG-13, Paul George. I think that it's just, it doesn't work there. Something about his attitude in the locker room, the way he plays with Kawhi, it's just, it's not a great fit in LA. And I think that they try and move on from that and approach their problems in a different way. All right, so what do you think about the Timberwolves? What do they do in the draft on Wednesday?
Well, I think they draft Anthony Edwards, and I think that they trade Anthony to a team to get another third star. I don't think he'll work well with D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, but I think he's the best player available. So.
I really hope that they trade the pick away. That's just what I want from them. I don't think that there's really anything that fits, unless they were to move off of D'Angelo Russell, which I don't think is likely, but I think that the only other situation that makes sense is drafting LaMelo and trading away Russell. But what about the Warriors?
I think the Warriors draft James Wiseman, and I think they keep him. I think he is your center made, and he's a 7 foot, like 7'5" wingspan. He's perfect for Golden State, agile center that can help him play defense. So I think they keep James Wiseman at number two.
Yeah, I do too. I think that he can be a great rim runner for there, solid on the defensive end, and then he's able to hit mid-range shots at least. He doesn't have the three-point range, but obviously with the spacing that's already on that team,
yet
that's not something that should be too much of an issue.
He could become the third Splash Bro.
The Lakers, what do you think they do?
I think they re-sign Rondo. I think he is critical to their championship run. And I think somehow they find a third star. I don't know who it is. They're saying Bradley Beal, but it's impossible to have three max salaries on a team. So I think they may go the same strategy as last year, get Rajon Rondo, sign some better bench players.
I think they surprise and they sign someone who you wouldn't necessarily expect to take a pay cut, but will with the mid-level exception. I think that they find somebody who wants to come in and win a championship, and they're able to get a player somehow of a decent caliber to come into that system. Suns coming off their 8-0 run in the bubble.
I think to keep Devin Booker entertained, I think you got to get, I didn't say Chris Paul, but I think the Suns are going to make a real thing for Chris Paul. I think he's just what Phoenix needs. However, I don't agree with it, but I think that's what they'll probably do.
Yeah, I think that's what they need too. That gives you Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and then you're going to have a 3-and-D guy, Mikal Bridges. Cam Johnson looks solid in the bubble.
Yeah, that's really good.
And then DeAndre Ayton, he's going to be a decent big man. So I think that that would be a really good fit. Lastly, the Celtics. What are they going to turn those assets into this year?
They're going to trade for a center or someone, a defensive anchor, just to reinforce what they have with Kemba, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. I think they're trying to build around those three and get to the finals in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think they settle on some sort of center as well. And then I think they make a move to get a backup point guard, really solid backup point guard, because I think an upgrade over Brad Wanamaker would be really good for that team. So give them someone to handle the ball off the bench so that Marcus Smart doesn't have to be that guy.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps it up for our NBA offseason talk this week. Next, we got NFL coverage.
Hello, you play to win the game.
These are the headlines from around the league and association.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
All right, so the NFL owners this week, they approved an expansion of the playoffs if games are canceled due to the virus. I don't personally ever like expanding the playoffs. I think it waters down the competition and it allows mediocrity to become a part of the playoffs, which I'm not a huge fan of. But I get it in this circumstance, obviously. It's just one extra team in each conference, and it's to account for if the virus forces games to cancel.
So would this be considered another wild card?
Yes. Okay. So each team would play wild card weekend rather than the top overall seed getting a bye.
I don't like that. I agree with your watered down. And I think also if there's no bye, then what was the point of the regular season? If you're Kansas City, who's 8-1 right now, and you win out, now you have to play again, even though you're supposed to be guaranteed a bye. So.
Mm-hmm. For sure. DeAndre Hopkins saying that wide receivers should get yards added for their pass interference penalties.
As a student,
I don't agree. I hate that idea.
Because then it's just inflating your stats, and then you're going to have people argue constantly, well, did he actually get that many yards, or what's the yards with pass interference? So I think it's not even a...
Yeah, I mean, and it's not really yards that you've earned. It's just sort of... Are you a big enough threat, I guess, to make somebody have to guard you closer? I don't know. I think it's ridiculous.
I mean, this is also, just in case no one knows, he had 7 targets, and I believe 4 of them were pass interference. So that's pretty awesome.
All right, so now let's talk about the biggest flaws for each of the Super Bowl favorites. We're halfway through the season, so I think we have a pretty good idea of what each of the teams are. We took 4 teams from each conference who I think could be the Super Bowl contenders from that conference. And we're going to talk about who we think, what we think is wrong with those teams.
Yeah. So starting off, we're with the Steelers. So for me, I think Steelers have just learned ways to win. And when they played the ugliest games, my Cowboys almost beat them, which that was would have been the best day of my life. But I think for them, the offense just... kind of struggled against literally a terrible Cowboys defense last week. So they got to figure it out. Big Ben got to spread the offense. So,
Yeah. I'm just not convinced something. It's just they barely beat a Jeff Driscoll-led Broncos. They barely beat a Garrett Gilbert-led Cowboys. And, I mean, that's been the MO for the Steelers over the years. always let their opponents stay close, but I don't know how it can translate to a Super Bowl run for them.
Right.
With the Ravens, I think it leads back to what we talked about earlier with the one-dimensional offense. You're going to have to find ways to make teams respect your passing game more than they have, not just let them clog the middle to keep your running and middle passing game from driving your offense.
Yeah, no, I just wrote down Lamar. I think Lamar Jackson's the key. He's got to be able to throw it outside, like you said, and they got to figure out their injuries, especially their offensive line. They lost Stanley a week ago, I believe.
Yeah.
So kind of fixing that spot on the offensive line is really going to allow Lamar to maybe focus, calm down a little bit, throw it out. So.
The Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're too reliant on big plays. I think that sometimes they're not going to connect, and that's what we saw in the Raiders game. And if that happens in a playoff game, you might be forced to pay for that. And so I think that it's important that they become not so reliant on those and be more efficient moving the ball.
Yeah, I put the defense. I know Tyrann Mathieu is really good, and they have some like solid guys. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's always going to be a shootout. And yes, they have Patrick Mahomes, and like you said, I think big plays they can't rely on, especially when the playoffs come around. So.
The Bills, I think it's just inconsistency. You got to find some level of consistency to play at. Even the entire team, the defense, Josh Allen, I think from top to bottom, that team has got to find a more good, consistent level if they're going to ride this and actually be successful in the playoffs.
Yeah, I said the defense for the Bills. I think, yeah, consistency is key, but the Bills' defense from this year to past year, it's black and white. Terrible, giving up way too much yards. Not enough takeaways, so they got to really figure it out if they want to get far.
Okay, with the Packers, it's obviously that run defense. I mean, whenever you look at their tough games this year, especially against like Minnesota, the teams have just run all over them, and you gotta find some way to get rid of that threat.
Yep, I also said the Buccaneers. That's the worst. That's the worst game that Aaron Rodgers had. He threw like two picks, and they looked absolutely horrendous. So hopefully the Bucs don't cross paths.
Now moving on to the Bucs. Their offense really just breaks down whenever they're allowing pressure on Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that's on, but you can't against some of these really good pass rushing teams allow that kind of pressure, clearly.
Yeah, I put Tom Brady. It runs through him, especially with all the targets and receivers he has. There's no excuse that it shouldn't be one of the best offenses. They need to protect Tom Brady, especially because he's like 43, I believe.
Yeah.
He needs to retire. That's another conversation.
Saints, they need to connect on more big plays. I mean, I know that it's been harped on, but eventually teams are going to be able to just keep enough in front of them and be able to figure that out. I think that they need to find somewhere to get more big plays out of that offense.
I just wrote Alvin Kamara. They got to stop. I mean, he's only been the only superstar on that offense with Michael Thomas not playing for a little bit. I mean, they have him back, but they got to find somebody else to give the ball to because they can't throw screen passes. They're going to figure it out, especially in the playoffs. So,
And the Seahawks, that pass defense, that is horrendous.
It is on pace to beat the worst defense ever in NFL history. So they just got to figure that out.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know where it comes from. If it comes from Jamal Adams adding to their pass rush because he's not very good in coverage, so he's not going to fix that issue.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to have to come from rushing the quarterback with Carlos Dunlap and him.
Yeah, you can't rely on Russell Wilson to throw 5 touchdowns a game. So,
all right, let's get into the predictions for this week in the NFL. Texans-Browns, who you got?
Texans. I think Deshaun Watson will go off.
I got the Browns. I don't think that the Texans have it this year. Washington against the Detroit Lions.
I put the Lions. I have faith in Matt Stafford, and I'm also a big fan of Jeff Okuda. So.
Yeah, I have the Lions as well. I mean, I just don't think that the Washington offense has enough at this point to be able to compete. Jaguars, Packers.
I put Packers. This is my lock. This will be a for sure win. I have other faith in
I also put Packers, but not as my lock because I'm not sure with that run defense once again. James Robinson has looked really good this year. Who knows if he has a big day. Okay, Eagles-Giants.
I put Eagles. This is a boring game.
Yeah, worst Eagles. Worst division in football.
Okay.
Gonna be ugly to watch, probably. Absolutely. Bucks Panthers.
I bet Bucks. Just because last time they played, it was a slaughter. The defense was on fire.
So. I think the Panthers keep it closer this time, but without Christian McCaffrey, I think that the Bucks are able to pull it out fairly comfortably. Broncos Raiders.
I put the Raiders. I think the Raiders are underrated, and I think John Gruden and Derek Carr are awesome. So.
My upset of the week, I took the Broncos over the Raiders.
Okay, it was also Drew Lock bias, but it's okay.
I mean, that Raiders defense is obviously suspect. I think that the Broncos are able to capitalize off of that. They're able to see what they did well in the second half the past 2 weeks, and they're able to pull out the win. Chargers, Dolphins.
I love Tua, so I put the Dolphins. It's Tua time, baby. He's looking great.
I also put Dolphins. I think that the defense can force Justin Herbert into a couple mistakes, and that's going to be crucial in this game. Bills, Cardinals.
I put Bills. Bills Mafia. I think their defense is going to figure it out, and but I think that DeAndre Hopkins is going to have a field day as well. So.
I put the Cardinals. I think that obviously that defense, Josh Norman's out this week. I think that the Cardinals are able to tear him up, and the Bills have to travel all the way across the country. I think that that gives the advantage to the Cardinals. 49ers, Saints.
But Saints, 49ers are injury shambles, and Nick Mullins is the quarterback. So.
I also took Saints. Same reasons. Bengals, Steelers.
Steelers is going to be an ugly victory, I assume. But Joe Burrow will try to put up a fight.
Yeah, I also put Steelers in this one. I put as my lock because I just think that that offensive line is just going to have nightmares against the Pittsburgh defense. Ravens, Patriots.
I put the Patriots. I put this as my upset. This is a very bold prediction, but I think Lamar's going to fall apart and Patriots will capitalize on it. Cam Newton will also have a good day.
I think it's the Ravens. The Patriots just aren't too bad of a position, I think, to be able to pull off this win.
Never count Bill out.
Vikings, Bears.
But the Vikings. I don't know. I don't think Dalvin Cook will run for another 200 yards, but I think Kirk Cousins will pull it out.
I also put Vikings. I mean, maybe not 200 yards, but I think he has another big day for Dalvin Cook. And then the game of the week, the Seahawks and Rams.
Well, we've already talked about earlier, Seahawks, worst defense ever. And the Rams have kind of just been like a quiet team, honestly. You really don't hear much. I mean, Jared Goff is an average quarterback, and I think it's just going to be kind of a shootout, honestly. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, of course, are two of the best defenders in the league, but I think Russell Wilson will pull it out.
Yeah, it pains me to do this, but I'm going with the Rams.
Oh, my, no.
It pains me to do it from St. Louis, but God. I think at home they get to that Seahawks defense and are able to pull out a win, unfortunately, for my happiness. But, we'll see. All right, we got college football talk next.
Now, maybe it's just me, but college was very confusing times.
It's the College Rundown, where we break down all the important stories in college football and basketball from this week.
All right, so our first topic in the College Football Rundown is that we're going to talk about the College Football Playoff Committee is considering delaying the College Football Playoffs. What do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, I think it relates back to this week. You have three of the top five teams were involved in games that were canceled because of the virus. I think that college football, this is the time where they are able to get out of their way and say, we need to give these conferences time to make sure that they can play these games. We can delay this playoff a couple weeks. I mean, if you don't, then it's going to be harder to tell who the best teams are. And I think that you're doing a disservice to yourself if you're not allowing the schools to be able to really prove who the best teams are.
Yeah, and I think it also comes down to we'd rather have delay now than later when the championship really comes around. And, yeah, I think we were talking about a week ago that there's just a lot of flexibility about who's going to be in the college football playoffs in general. So,
yeah, and I mean, this allows schools to be more comfortable canceling games, knowing that they're going to have more time. And so if you have a roster that's been depleted because of contact tracing, testing positive, stuff like that, they don't feel the pressure to still play because they need this game to prove that they are worthy to the committee. Now they have time to put it off. So it just creates an overall safer environment for the players as well.
Absolutely.
And then Jim Harbaugh, he's had a rough go at Michigan so far this year.
You know, I don't know. I think he just sets too high of standards for his team. I think he just thinks championship or bust, and they're currently losing 28-0 to Wisconsin. So shows you what a position they're in. But hey, maybe it's time for Jim to find a new coaching gig.
I don't know if he'd go anywhere else other than Michigan, but he has 1 year left on his contract. I think if he doesn't step away after this year, I don't think Michigan renews that contract. I think that he has at most 1.5 seasons left as the head coach in Michigan and as a head coach in general, because I don't know if he's going to want to go anywhere else.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, so it's all the college football news this week. Obviously, biggest story is no story with all the cancellations.
Canceled games, my IDs.
But such is life nowadays. All right, we got finale coming up next.
It's been a blast, but it's almost time to go. We wrap up this week with the home stretch.
It's time for the home stretch, and today's fun topic is we're going to give out NFL fun non-traditional awards. So our first award is underrated team.
I went with the Ravens for this one. I think that we're reading too much into what the Ravens are doing right now. They've had some close games, obviously, which isn't ideal, but the two teams they've lost to are the Steelers and the Chiefs, who look like the two best teams in the NFL. And I mean, the Chiefs game maybe wasn't close, but that Steelers game came down to the last play. So I think that they're in a lot better of a position than what other people
are. I put the Raiders. I think John Gruden and Derek Carr and them are the only team to beat the Chiefs. And I really think that they might be a wild card. We'll see. But yeah, I put the Raiders.
See this week against the Broncos.
Yeah.
My most overrated team is the Seattle Seahawks. I think that with that pass defense, I think it's going to come back to bite them. And you can only let Russ cook so much. I think that it's going to come back to bite him riding him so hard.
On to the Steelers. I think we discussed earlier, it's just a lot of ugly wins. And I really think they need to lose to get kind of back down to earth or riding this high. And I'd rather them lose in the regular season than when it really counts in the playoffs.
Biggest surprise, who's yours?
The Colts. I think their defense is incredible, and I think Phillip Rivers obviously is not like a phenomenal quarterback right now, but I mean, he's letting the offense move, and Hines has been a bright spot of the run offense with Marlon Mack injured, so.
Yeah, I didn't expect the defense to be this good, but it's a bit of a surprise, but good for them. I had the Dolphins. I didn't think they'd be this good this fast. That defense is really, really good, I think. I think it's very overlooked sometimes. Mm-hmm. Tua looked great last week. I think that they're a pretty big surprise for me.
Yeah, congrats to Brian Flores. He's really turned that team around. So,
most impressive kicker? Easy one would be Justin Tucker. But I chose Brandon McManus because I think that he's right up there with him as far as just like you can trust that he's going to hit every kick.
I put Rodrigo Blankenship because that guy is, I don't know if y'all anybody knows what he looks like, but he has goggles on.
I love the goggles.
Beard. He is iconic kicker, but he's been really great for the Colts in clutch moments. So I think he's my most impressive.
Yeah, I remember at Georgia, he was not the most clutch, but
no.
Good for him.
Yep.
Biggest bust of the season? Mine is Mike McCarthy coaching with the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously,
absolutely.
He doesn't have his starting quarterback, and that's a big blow, but I think that He just hasn't been what we thought he could be.
Absolutely. I put Zeke. Pains me to put it as being a Dallas Cowboys fan, but after he cashed in, he has not looked like the same player, and our offensive line is not what it is right now, but there's no excuse that he should have like 1.5 yards before contact or something like that. Some stupid stuff. So, yeah, not impressed with Zeke.
All right, our best team in the league. Wrong answers only.
Dallas Cowboys, baby. Let's get Ben DiNucci back in the lineup. It's a great game a couple weeks ago.
The sidearm master.
Yep, the sidearm master. We'd love to see that again. I put the Dallas Cowboys.
I put the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, God.
I think that every year they have painful losses early.
Absolutely.
And then they start to get a little bit better like they have this year. They give their fans hope, only to finish right around 500, miss the playoffs, and ruin any sort of high draft pick that they could get.
City of Atlanta.
Most average quarterback.
Matt Stafford. He hasn't really done anything exciting, and he throws a couple picks, so never really hear about him, but he's pretty average.
It's a Jared Goff guy who was a lot of hype earlier in his career. He just doesn't do a whole lot. Yeah. I mean, part of that's what Sean McVay asked him to do in the offense, but yeah, just been really average so far this year. All right, let's make some bold predictions.
General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
All right, my bold prediction for the week is Chris Paul to the Clippers. I already said it, but I think that this week he's going back to L.A. and him and Kawhi are going to face LeBron and AD in the Western Conference Finals.
I wonder what else they would do with that team then if they add Chris Paul. I wonder who they look for to be their third best player on that team.
I think that they would have to lose Harrell.
Yeah.
They can't afford him.
No, not with that Chris Paul contract.
And it will be interesting. Reggie Jackson, I feel like, is a guy's chasing contention for title, so he'll probably resign on maybe a mid-level veterans minimum. So
I said that Notre Dame is going to lose a game before the ACC championship and then lose to Clemson in the ACC championship, and a Pac-12 or Group of Five team makes the playoff.
Pac-12?
Or Group of Five.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I'm impressed with the Pac-12, but that is indeed a bold prediction. I think Clemson will beat Notre Dame, no doubt, with Trevor Lawrence, but I don't know about a Pac-12 team. Not really impressed with how many games they got to play. So.
All right, wrap it up this week. What are your final thoughts?
Okay, this is for the Dallas Mavericks organization. This is for Mark Cuban. We have a big free agency, okay? 2021 is what we're going for. Trying to draft Giannis. I'm not draft. We're trying to trade for Giannis. We're trying to get the superstar so we can bring a championship home. Do not trade for Victor Oladipo or Zach LaVine this week. We don't need them. Please do not crush my dreams. That is all I have.
Mine goes out to the New York Knicks. If you are in a rebuild, commit to that rebuild.
Preach.
Do not trade for Russell Westbrook. He will sell tickets, but he will not win you a championship. He will convert you into a team that is a bottom three seed in the Eastern Conference, and you will ruin your draft picks. If you just continue to draft, you're going to eventually hit on one. So just stick with it.
Absolutely.
It may be painful, but it is the right thing to do. Commit to your rebuild, please.
Commit to the rebuild.
All right, so that's all we got this week.
And that wraps up episode 0. Thanks for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.
Shout out to Lauren.